It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. With 5,200 students benefiting from the Pittsburgh Promise Scholarship Fund in the last 6 years and more than $140 million raised toward a $250 million goal, Pittsburgh Promise Executive Director Salim Gubriel is pleased with the progress. Those numbers were announced as part of the program's annual report to the community in late October. The Pittsburgh Promise program provides scholarships of up to $10,000 for 4 years to graduates of the Pittsburgh Public Schools. The scholarship program has enabled over 1,000 recipients to complete 4-year college degrees. But the program is not without its critics. I'm joined now in Studio A by Pittsburgh Promise Executive Director Salim Gubriel. It is great to have you back. Welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. It's a joy to see you again and be on your show.
You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address, esspgh@wesa.fm, and on Twitter at esspgh, hashtag EP Live. Within this new set of figures, what are the things that you are most pleased with?
Would you allow me to begin with a slight correction
Sure.
of the intro?
Yes.
We have actually raised, and Pittsburgh has been so incredibly generous, we have actually raised $175 million.
So an update from the 140 about, what was it, maybe a few weeks ago, it's now up to 175?
Well, it's been at about 170 to 175 for a few months.
Okay.
175
oh, okay.
right now with 250 to go.
Great.
I mean, with 75 to go to get to the 250.
Right. That basic bit of subtraction there to get to that figure. So we're a little closer to the $250 million goal than was originally thought. And so with these figures and the way they're shaping up, what is your assessment?
You know, for some young people, the promise has been absolutely transformative. For large numbers of young people, it's been a significant difference maker. And sadly for a few, it hasn't yet caused the needle to budge. So we celebrate the accomplishments of those who are doing great things with this opportunity and for whom this opportunity is indeed a difference maker. And then we will continue to roll up our sleeves and work really hard to engage every kid that we have in the city of Pittsburgh and then all of our urban public schools.
What is your reaction to 75% of the grants having been used at 4-year colleges and universities?
Yeah. So, we provide scholarships to not only 4-year schools, but also 2-year and trade and technical schools. Kids can get a bachelor's degree or an associate's or a workforce certificate.
But 3/4 of them are opting to – they want the 4-year degree.
You know, we are trying to create a college-going culture in our city. And by college-going, we don't imply solely 4-year education. We leave that choice entirely up to young people. We have a program right now where we are basically being very intentional about promoting opportunities in the trade and technical market in the Pittsburgh region because those jobs exist in abundance. Our message, however, will never be some kids are college material and other kids are not college material. Our message is very much a high school diploma is just not enough, but a 4-year degree may not be necessary. So what are your passions? What are your interests? And here are the opportunities that exist in the market. And today in Pittsburgh's market, about 60% of the jobs require specialized technical training, while 40% of the jobs require a 4-year degree. So we put the message out there, but we leave that choice, as we absolutely should leave that choice, to young people and their families.
And of the 1,100 grantees who have completed a 4-year degree, 800 have found jobs in the city. So is this... when you have figures like that, is that a way of showing people that here's the return or at least one of the significant returns on the investment?
You know, we've not kept it a secret that one of our objectives is not only to send young people to college and help them prepare for their futures, but to engage them in the region's economy and in jobs in the Pittsburgh market. So we want them to come back, and we have done everything we can to woo them. We went to every single one of our supporting companies, and we said to them, listen, you have helped pay for these kids' tuition to pursue higher ed. Don't you think you ought to be the first to interview them? And without fail, every single one of them has answered with a resounding yes. So we have helped build bridges between our graduates and the supporting companies, and the supporting companies have seemed to be really happy to hire students in whose education they invested.
This program is now in, I believe it's its 7th year?
We are in our 7th year. That's correct.
And are you happy with the growth that you're seeing?
I am very happy with the fact that, for example, high school graduation rates in Pittsburgh have grown from a lousy 62% to a slightly less lousy 72%. It's not anywhere where we need to be. However, it is far better than where we used to be. So we're pleased with the movement. It's moving in the right direction. We're pleased with the fact that the promise seems to be raising the aspirations of young people and also the expectations that families and teachers have of them. We're delighted by that. We're delighted by the fact that the promise seems to be recalibrating the conversation around public education and raising the awareness about the importance of public education. Paul, we have to get urban public education right, or all of us in the region will suffer the consequences. We cannot wash our hands from it. We cannot try to come up with alternatives for it. We have to get it right.
What are the things that are keeping that 28% who are not graduating? What is preventing them from doing so? We were talking about, you know, nearly a third of the students in the Pittsburgh public schools not getting their diploma. What's happening?
Circumstances, you know, vary. There's not a one-size-fits-all answer to this. We have some young people who are not at all engaged with their education and don't find it in any way relevant to their lives. So they check out, and there are lots of factors and lots of distractions that many of them have in many of our communities that cause them to be more focused on other priorities. Some of them have to raise their own siblings. Some of them have to raise their own kids. Many of them have to have multiple jobs. I know of a kid who had to keep 3 part-time jobs to help support his family even while in high school. So there are some of those realities. But there are also choices that young people made that are sometimes negative and destructive choices, and we have to do all that we can to counter those and create alternatives for them.
Are there things that exist in society today that make it harder that maybe didn't exist years ago?
Oh, I mean, I have no doubt that it's much harder being a child today and a young person today than it was when you and I were children. And young. You know, there's always been distractions. Adolescence has never been easy. But today I am fairly sure that we have done a great disservice to our kids by exposing them. We as a society expose our young people to the kinds of things that were once available only to adults, while at the same time we are protecting them less. They are exposed to more and protected less. Well, community violence, early exposure to sexual behavior. They are much more aware of, because of the shrinking size of the local village, we are so aware of so many horribly agonizing things that occur in the world. Education is obviously very important, but there is something to be said about protecting that period of time called childhood and early adolescence. We don't do that. We do not do that anymore. So we are exposing them to far too many more things than we used to, while at the same time we are protecting them less, and they're dealt a double whammy.
We're talking with Salim Gabriel. He is Executive Director of the Pittsburgh Promise. Again, you can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm. On Twitter at ESSPGH, hashtag EPLive. I mentioned that this program, for all the good it's done, it does have its critics. One of the criticisms, and I mentioned the stipulation that the program has, that students earn, they are required to earn a 2.5 or better grade point average combined with 90% attendance. Some say those standards are not high enough. I'm sure you've heard that before. What do you say to those critics?
You know, some say those standards are not high enough. And interestingly, some of our critics say those standards are too high. And it's not that smart people say it's not high enough and dumb people say it's too high. Some have argued, equally smart people have argued, that the only criteria ought to be if a kid graduates from high school and she or he is accepted by a college, you let the college admissions departments determine whether they are ready or not. That's their job. They are the experts. You're not. So if they get accepted, you fund them and let them go. If they don't get accepted, then that's a different conversation. We've decided that, in fact, data suggests that high school GPA, and even sometimes more importantly, school attendance, are great indicators for long-term success in higher education and eventual success in life. So we do pay close attention to those indicators. We don't, however, believe that they by themselves tell the whole story. We have taken some risks on some young people that many thought, nope, the risk was too great, and they have surprised us with remarkable returns on investment. I am one of those young people for whom the light bulb came on kind of late. I am not proud of saying this, but I got thrown out of the first high school that I attended, and I got thrown out of the first college that I attended.
Thrown out, if I may ask, for what?
Oh, the reasons vary, and I prefer not to go into them on the radio.
That's fine.
For behavioral reasons, I was asked to leave two schools, a high school and a college, and somebody took a chance on me.
Aren't there a lot of young people who are late bloomers for whom the light bulb maybe doesn't even turn on until and unless you get to a higher education opportunity, who are for whatever reason are just not made for the structure and the what some might call the rigidity of the traditional high school setting, sitting in a chair in the classroom? Aren't there a lot of kids like that?
Oh, I have no doubt. I know I can name right now in my head several dozen that I know personally for whom the light bulb did come on. It just came on kind of late. And from my perspective, it doesn't matter when the light bulb comes on. What matters is that it comes on.
When we were talking earlier about the standards, how were the standards? How was 2.5 that we'll make it so that the GPA – in order to qualify for this scholarship money, the GPA has to be 2.5. The attendance happens to be 90%. Some person listening to this might wonder, well, how are those figures arrived at?
Yeah. This is frankly, it's evidence-based. It's research-based. We know that GPA does tell us something about future success. And we also, looking back from the performance of young people and evaluating what they were like in high school, college performance is often higher. This is where my daughter would say to me, "Well, hello, Captain Obvious." It's not a surprise that higher achieving students in high school do better in college. But there is that occasional surprise, and I want to continue to be a gambler on behalf of the kids for whom there's the possibility of the occasional surprise.
A recent Post Gazette editorial pointed out that one of the promises, principal goals, attracting and retaining middle-income families in the city, that while Pittsburgh's population is starting to rise, the public schools continue to lose enrollment. If that was one of the goals, was to get that enrollment up, and that's not happening, where does that leave the Pittsburgh promise?
Yeah, we've also said from the very beginning that one of our objectives is to see the city grow again and our public schools grow again. We are delighted by the fact that the city's population free fall in terms of numbers has come to a stop. In fact, it appears to be growing again. And the place where the city's population is growing is among 20 and 30-year-olds. That's where the fastest growth is occurring right now. We used to be the second largest city in the country. Well, we're not anymore. Well, here's our hope. Our hope is that those who are now 20 and 30 and are living in our city will start having babies sometime soon. And then those babies will get enrolled in our schools. Part of the reality, Paul, is not just that the enrollment continues to shrink, but the school-aged population in Pittsburgh and in Allegheny County continues to shrink. So the market itself of children who are school-aged is smaller today than it was. Unless we start growing young families with young children in the city, we're not going to see the public schools grow. We can't fabricate children who don't exist. We have consistently held the same market share, if I may use that language, market share of students in Pittsburgh public schools. But the market continues to shrink in size.
Is there a perception out there that the Pittsburgh public schools are fighting an idea that that for whatever reason some people have, that if you really want to give your children a good high school education, that you need to do it at a private school or you need to do it at a suburban school but not in the Pittsburgh public schools?
Yeah, I think that's a false perception. When we paint Pittsburgh public schools with one very broad brush, we use language like, well, those city schools. Well, we have 57 city schools, and they are not all the same. We have among the 57, we have some high school – well, they're not all high schools, but among our high schools, we have some that are top performers in the region, that are the envy of the region. We have some suburban families paying to send their kids to city schools because they don't live in the city to be able to send them for free because of the options that exist in Pittsburgh public schools. There's something that scale and only scale can offer that our suburban neighbors cannot offer. For example, there's not a single public school system in Allegheny County that has the ability to provide a top-notch, academically high-performing school that is also focused on the creative and performing arts. Only Pittsburgh is able to do that, and that's the envy of the region. There's not another school in the region that is able to offer a 6th through 12th public school that is a high-performing public school that specializes in science, technology, engineering, and math exclusively. There's not another public school district in the region that's able to offer a 6th through 12 public school that is an all international baccalaureate all the time. Only Pittsburgh Public is offering that. So there are schools within our district that are incredibly powerful in terms of their performance and very competitive with any regional school. Now, of course, we also have some schools that are not top performing, and then sadly, those happen to be in places that we have not yet been able to move the needle. So we have some that just have not budged. And as a father, I can tell you this. My own children graduated from Pittsburgh Public, and when my own kids were school-aged, at that time I felt okay sending them to maybe a third of the inventory of schools in the district. As a dad, I can tell you that today I would send my kids to more than two-thirds of the inventory of schools in the district. Huge step in the right direction. But we still have a third of our schools that I would not want my children to go to. And if I wouldn't want mine, I wouldn't want anybody else's kids to go to, and that's where our focus currently is. Lies.
And so, you know, will there be a time, do you think, when, you know, this program has been around now, as we mentioned, it's in its seventh year. Is there hope that in the future the program can start to encourage things to change at those problem schools?
Well, sure. I mean, we have seen that happen in the last 7 years. And yeah, I think it's important to note that the kid who was in the ninth grade when we launched the Promise hasn't yet had a chance to finish college. So we've not been around for that long to bring about the really large systemic transformative kinds of changes that we desire to bring about and are committed to bringing about. Those things, however, require a good bit more time than we have had. Frankly, I think it'll require maybe 2 to 3 generations of students to bring about the vast transformative impact that we are committed to. Paul, there's not a city anywhere in the country, not one, to which we can point and say, in that city exists an excellent urban public school system. Excellent public school systems do exist. They're just not in cities. Now, there are excellent schools within mediocre systems, and that has caused some to conclude the reason they don't exist is because they cannot exist. One of our critics has made that statement. I think that I reject that notion with absolute certitude. The reason they don't exist is because we haven't tried hard enough yet. In Pittsburgh, we have the chance of demonstrating what systemic excellence looks like, and we're moving in that direction. We're not there yet, but we are much closer to that point than we were when we started 7 years ago.
And is the word getting out to people as far as, you know, letting them know that the schools where things are working, that we have these things in Pittsburgh, and that you can find a good education for your children or as a student in the Pittsburgh public schools?
We can do better. We can do better in terms of getting that word out. And being on your show today is one way we can do it.
And last but not least, are you getting to the point with fundraising? It sounds like it. You're making progress toward that $250 million goal where you're confident that in the future this program will be stabilized, that we're going to know that the Pittsburgh Promise is here to stay, providing opportunities for future generations.
I mean, I fully expect that whoever is occupying my office at some point in the very distant future, that person will still have to do fundraising. Fundraising is just basically, it's the air that we breathe in the nonprofit world. We have to continue to raise money. However, I am confident that the kids who are hearing my voice today and listening to your program, or their families who are listening to your program today, can be confident that there will be a scholarship for their young people if they are in our Pittsburgh public schools.
Salim Gubril is Executive Director of the Pittsburgh Promise. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Paul. Good to see you again.
Likewise. Coming up, a discussion of a documentary called Life in a Walk by former Pitt football player Yogi Roth. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.